Turn back to Hebrews chapter 2. Title of the message, The World to Come. The World to Come. There is a new world coming. It's real. In chapter 1, the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ is established. His work as the Redeemer is set forth, where it says He purged us from our sins. His glory is set forth. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. And then we come to chapter 2, and he says we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, the gospel we have heard, the gospel of God's glory, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, how God saves sinners, lest at any time we should let them drift away. Or if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? He's telling us, neglect not what you heard. Don't take lightly what you have heard. Give great attention to it. Give earnest heed to it. There is no other salvation. There is no other gospel. There is no other Savior. Neglect this one and you perish. That's how serious it is. Neglect this one and you perish. Now, after the writer sets forth the Lord Jesus Christ in His deity and His glory, and he urges upon his readers here to give solemn attention to the gospel they've heard, he turns their attention and our attention to this new world is coming. To this new world is coming, and to this man, Christ Jesus. And he reaches back there and he gets Psalm 8 that David has spoken, and he ties it together with the man Christ Jesus. What is man? Well, until you see Christ, you really don't know. Well, I'll put it this way. You have a real distorted view. Remember when the Lord touched that man's eyes and he said, what do you see? He said, I see men as trees walking. Well, he had to touch him again. He said, now what do you see? He saw men as men. And until we see the Lord Jesus Christ in His glory, in His manhood, and something have some understanding of this new world coming, we'll have a distorted view of man. So this is what He's going to deal with. What is man? What is he? Who is he? What does he have to do with this new world to come? He says here in verse 5, for unto the angels hath he not put in subjection. They are not the subjects of this new world. Gabriel, Michael, in their glory, in their strength, I mean, my soul, well, powerful, powerful beings. They are not the subjects of this new world. Man is. And especially this man, Christ Jesus. The world to come is very real. It is not a fairy tale. Look over in Revelation chapter 21. I do not know, don't even have a clue when this is going to happen. But it's going to happen. I tell you that, it's going to happen because God said so. Over in Revelation chapter 21, John says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, gone. And there was no more sea. He said, I saw it. God gave him a glimpse into the future. He said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. It's very real. The old one, he said, passed away. The scripture says the fashion of this world passeth away. However, there will be a new heaven and a new earth to take its place when this one passes away. When he folds this one up and does away with it. And man, through the man Christ Jesus, will be what God purposed him to be. He'll be what God purposed him to be from the beginning. He'll have dominion. He'll have dominion. And this dominion is not given to the angels. They are going to be servants to the heirs of salvation in that new world. They're just going to be servants. That's all they're going to be. The first Adam, when God created him, God gave him power, authority, over this earth. He said, have dominion over it. Subdue it. Well, he failed, didn't he? He failed. He failed and he fell into sin. And his posterity fell in him. Now we live in a sinful world. We live in a world that hates God. Can you imagine that? We live in a world that hates the Creator of the world. That's what we live in because of this fall. And we ourselves are full of sin. Full of it. We know it. Creation not only turned on God, but creation has turned on itself. If God did not preserve us, we would annihilate ourselves. We would annihilate ourselves. That's what would happen. But there is a good end to all this that God purposed before He created this world. You know, this world is like a blimp. It's just like a blimp on the eternal screen of God. It's just a blimp. That's what it's like. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. And there's going to be a man that's going to have dominion one end to the other. There's going to be a man who's going to be king. We're not going to vote for presidents. We're going to go vote him in and out of office. In that new world, there is one king. And he is a righteous king. And he's going to rule in that new heaven and new earth. And everyone in that new heaven and new earth rejoice in his reign. Glad that he reigns. That's what's coming. That's what's coming in this new world. Now he says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? What is man? Well, first of all, he is God's special creation. He's God's special creation. Turn over to Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1, in verse 26, and God said, let us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, let us make man, listen, in our image. He didn't make a cow in his image. He did not make a monkey in his image. He made a man. He made a man in his image. What is man that thou art mindful of? He's a special creation of God. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. That's not said of any part of the rest of God's creation. That's said of man. of man. He is God's special creation. Of all creation, none equal the creation of a man. A man can reason. A man can think. He can plot and plan. He can feel. He has a soul. He has spirit. He's God's special creation. Now the evolutionists would have us to believe that man came from a monkey. And that's a slam on the monkey. Really. It really is. That he is a here's what the evolutionists believe, that man is a superior animal. No, he is a superior creation of God. That's what man is. Man came from God. He's the creation. He's a special creation of God Almighty. And that being so, he is responsible to God. You see, if he came from a monkey, he's not responsible, so he can go out here and do what he wants to do, and he doesn't have to worry about it when he dies. But if you believe that God created, now you're responsible. He's responsible to God. Man was created to serve God. He was created to enjoy God. He was created to worship God. And he was created to be with God forever. That's why God created him. And we'll see as we go through Hebrews here, this is fulfilled in the man, Christ Jesus. It's fulfilled in him, by him, and us in him. What is man? The answer to this question will reveal, it can reveal a person's spiritual condition. What is man? What do you think of him? We know he's God's special creation. He was made for God, to worship God. But what is he now? He's a fallen creature. He's a fallen son of Adam. And David, and no doubt David, when he looks at, he said, I look at the moon and the stars, the universe. I look at all that God's created. And David, knowing what he was by nature, he says, what is a man that you'd even think of him? A sinful man. What is he? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor. He said to Adam, have dominion. The fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the beasts of the field, have dominion. You crowned him with glory and honor. And didst set him over the works of thy hands. Once again, God made him, and he made him for a special purpose. God made him, he says here, a little lower than the angels. And really, it's best read like this. He made him a little lower than the angels for a little while. For a little while. What we're going through here now is a little while. Our Lord came into this world and became a man. And he went through this world and endured suffering for sin, humiliation, for a little while. We'll see that he also was made this so he could go through death. He could die. But he's made for a little while. God gave man dominion over the works of his hands. What an honor. What an honor. What a position. But now listen. That was an honor. When God created Adam, he said, have dominion over this. The fish of the sea, the fowl of the air. You know, Adam named all the animals. That was an honor. But this goes beyond this world. He's speaking of another world. He's speaking of another world. This reaches into that world to come where the man Christ Jesus, will rule and reign over all things. And His church will be right there with Him. His church will be right there with Him. The full realization of this will happen in the world to come. That's when the full realization of it will happen. Right now, we are made a little lower than the angels. They excel in strength and glory. We have to die. They don't. But not in that new world. Not in that new world. Now, the purpose for this subjection for a little while has to do with the purpose. Now listen, it has to do with the purpose of God's Son. It has to do with the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ. That He, as a man, as God, He has the preeminence. As God, He rules over all. As God, He owns all. He's the Creator. We saw this in chapter 1. All things were created by Him and for Him. He's the Creator of it all. But as a man, as a real man of flesh and bones, He might have the preeminence. This man, Jesus Christ, might have the preeminence over all. Especially in that world to come. He's going to have the preeminence over all. He's going to have the glory. He's going to have the glory over all. This man, who right now is seated at God's right hand. There's a man seated at God's right hand, not an angel, not Gabriel, not Michael, a man named Jesus. A man who was despised and rejected of men. A man who was spit on. A man who was slapped. A man who was nailed to a tree. A man who was beaten. Beaten to a pulp, so to speak. It says his visage was so marred more than any man. That man, right now, is seated at God's right hand. That man is. And He did this, God did this, that He, His Son, this man, might have the preeminence. What we shall be is hidden. It's hidden now from us because of sin. The effects of sin. We live in this world of sin. We live in a body of sin. And we really can't see what we are going to be. It doth not yet appear, the Scripture says, what we shall be. But we know this, when He shall appear, we're going to be just like Him. We're going to be just like that glorified man who's seated at God's right hand right now. Someday we will be where our forerunner is. We'll be with Him. And we shall be what God has purposed us to be all along before He ever created the heavens and the earth. God purposed this long before He created the heavens and the earth. We don't see this now. He says here in verse 8, Thou hast put all things in subjection under His feet, for in that He put all in subjection under Him, He left nothing that's not put under Him. But now we see not yet all things put under Him. We don't see all things put under Him yet. But we see Jesus. We don't see all things put under Him yet. There's a lot of enemies going, still, there's still a lot of enemies running loose. Well, we think they're running loose. They're not running, they're on a dog chain. They can only go as far as He allows them to go. But we do not see all things put under Him yet. But we see Jesus. You notice He says here, but we see the Son of God. Does He say that? We see the second person of the Trinity. Although we do. No, we see Jesus. That's His name is humiliation. That's the name that He was named by His Father. He said, you shall call His name Jesus. They told Him, the angel said, you shall call His name Jesus. He shall save His people from their sins. But we see this man, Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. What? What condescension. I've been thinking about this today. What is the chief creation of God? What is the chief creation of God? The man, Christ Jesus. His manhood. He was a real man, real soul, real body. He is the chiefest of God's creation. He was made a little lower than the angels for this purpose, for the suffering of death. Crowned with glory and honor that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man, that is everyone whom He represented. Here is first, identification. Identification. You see over here, in verse 16, it says, "For verily He took not on Him the nature of angels, He took on Him the seed of Abraham." He identified with God's elect. He identified with God's elect. The Son of God became a man. He became a man. Now the picture. I was reading this today and I thought, now the picture is starting to come into focus. Now it's starting to clear up. You see, God made Adam. He made a man, made him after His own likeness and His own image, and he fell. There was another man made. God created that man, the manhood of Christ. The Son was given, but the child was what? Born. See, the Son's eternal, but the manhood of Christ was created by God. And that man is not going to fail. And that man is going to receive the glory and honor from His Father. And He is going to reign in that new heaven and new earth as the King. And we are going to reign in Him. We are going to reign with Him. With Him. You take Christ out of the picture, you just as well go ahead and believe evolution or whatever else you want to believe. You take Him out of the picture, there's nothing rhymes and nothing matches if you take Him out of the picture. Oh, but if we see Christ, then the picture becomes very clear. When we see Jesus, the man, we begin to understand the purpose of this whole thing. God is going to populate heaven with the people just like His Son. And man is truly going to reign in that new heaven and new earth. And angels are going to be subject to them. Paul said in Corinthians, we shall judge angels. They're going to be subject to the man Christ Jesus. And they're going to be servants to God's people in that new heaven, new earth. We see Jesus, the Son of God, identifying Himself with us. Look in verse 14. He says here in verse 14, "For as much then as the children of God, are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." He identified with us. He identified with His people. The Word of God was made flesh. He really became a man. And why was He made flesh? It says here, for the suffering of death. The law said, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. Have you sinned? Have I sinned? All God's children sinned in Adam, and we've just sinned ourselves. Purposely. Purposely. And the law says, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. So our Lord came into this world, became a man, took upon Him flesh, so that He might suffer the just for the unjust, and that He might bring us to God. Bring us to God. He came to make an atonement for sin. That's what He came for. And it had to be the same nature that sinned. So He became a man. He became a man. Here's the message in a nutshell. Christ is the man. He is the man through whom God's purpose for man will be realized. He's the man. In that new heaven and new earth, it'll be realized in this man, Christ Jesus, in that new heaven and that new earth wherein dwells righteousness. That's where God's purpose for man, the creation of man, will be realized. That's when that happens. It says here that He crowned Him with glory and honor. Where's that first Adam? I believe the Lord saved him. I do. I believe the Lord saved him. But I'll tell you this, that second Adam, he's seated at God's right hand. He's the one crowned. He is the one crowned with glory and honor. He's the one who has been given all power and authority and dominion over all. It's been put into the hands of this man who has identified himself with us. With us. This is our King. This is our King. And this is what's coming. I sat and thought about this today. This is what's coming. A new world. A new world is coming. A new earth. A new heaven. And the King of that earth, that new earth and heaven, is the man Christ Jesus. And all who He has redeemed, all you who believe, will be there. You'll be there. And you'll be what God purposed you to be from the beginning. He's crowned Him with glory and honor. He rules over all. A real man right now is running the show as we speak. A real man. Every man that came out of Adam came out a sinner. Every man that comes out of this man is righteous. Righteous. And notice here, and I'll close. It says here that He, by the grace of God, by the grace of God, He tasted death for every man. Grace is a driving force in salvation. By the grace of God, it was not out of obligation. It was not, well, I created Adam, he messed up, he's my creation, and now we've got to do something about it. No, he didn't do anything with the angels that fell, did he? Well, you never hear anybody complain about that, do you? I've never heard one person get upset that God did not provide them a Savior. But He did man. Man. God had a special purpose for creating man in His likeness. After His image. He said, let us make man in our likeness and after our image. Is that what he said? Listen to Hebrews again. In verse 3, who being the brightness of His glory, and what? The express image of His person. Adam marred it, but not this one. Not this one. This one didn't mess up. And upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down, crowned with glory and honor, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. That's where He is right now. That's where He is. That's where we are in Him. And one day we're going to leave this earth. And time may go on. And I don't know. It may go on another 1,000 years or whatever. But sooner or later, He's going to put an end to it. It's going to be a new heaven, new earth. He's going to be the King. And we're going to reign on it as kings and priests. That's what He says. They shall reign as kings and priests on the earth. That new earth. But here it says, by the grace of God, He tasted death for every man. Christ's substitutionary work. Now listen. From beginning to end, was nothing but pure grace. That's all it was, pure grace. And Christ, the man, actually tasted death. Now, I have to die, unless the Lord comes back right now, or in a little while. But I have to die. But in dying, I will not taste of death. I will not taste of death. And you won't either. You'll go from here to there. This body will be laid in the grave, just like my house I live in right now. One day I'll vacate that house. I won't live in it. And one day I'll vacate this body. But I'm not going to taste death. And here's why. He did. He tasted death. The believer will not taste death, but Christ tasted it. And He tasted it in all its bitterness, in all its horror. He tasted it. Therefore, we won't have to. Because one man did. And He did it for a lot of people. He did it for a lot of them. He tasted it. He was our forerunner. Somebody said this. I thought this was good. He was our forerunner in every last detail. Every last detail. He's our forerunner. Even into death. He drank that bitter cup of death for everyone given to Him. We heard about that this morning. Those that Thou hast given me, they are Thine. You've given them to me. That's who He tasted death for. And now we can sing, O death, where is thy sting? Where is thy sting? Our Lord took it away. He took the stinger out of death. Now this verse does not teach universal atonement and that He died for every son of Adam. It doesn't teach that. Not if you keep it in its context, for listen to verse 13. And again, I will put my trust in Him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. That's who He tasted death for. The children. He tasted death for the children of God. He died for the many sons whom He will bring to glory. What He did. Well, we have a lot to look forward to, don't we? I have to say, I feel so feeble trying to handle such glorious matters. There is a new heaven and a new earth. He says here, a new world. A new world. And Christ is the King of that new world. The man Christ Jesus. He's the King of that new world. And everyone for whom He tasted death is going to be in that new world. And it's going to be nothing but righteousness. You're not going to hear of wars, rapes, killing, hatred. You'll never hear that. It'll be nothing but righteousness. And everybody will be friendly. Everybody will be friendly. Everybody will truly be glad to see you. Well, glad to see you. Sometimes you are and sometimes you're not. But in that new heaven and new earth, it's just unimaginable. Unimaginable. All because of this man. The very purpose of God creating man is realized in the man, Christ Jesus. And we'll see it someday, those who believe.